If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me, please. First of all, to the book of Isaiah. And then I'll read a verse or two out of the book of Isaiah. And then a few verses elsewhere in the Word of God. And I really need your prayers this morning. I don't have any notes. I'm standing before you this morning just to share my heart. My heart is burdened for our country. And I want to say this in the onset of the message. I am conservative, and I don't apologize for that. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I believe we ought to try to follow the Word of God as close as we possibly can. And I'll say some things this morning that I want you to pray that God will say what needs to be said and just clam me up if I get in myself, amen, and let me hold that in. Because I don't want to be in myself. I want to preach in the Spirit of God this morning, and I want to share some things with you. I have a title for the message this morning. The title would be something that I'm in hopes that somewhere down the road, someone might be on the internet and might click on the title, not realizing that I'm a fundamental Baptist preacher. But I'm going to use for a title this morning something that the mob has been chanting in the street for years now. And that title would be, No Justice, No Peace. I think you'll understand after a while. I'll tell Brother Jim this morning that the way we will spell that in the title is N-O, just like they chanted in the street. No justice, no peace. But I want you to know this morning there's another way to go, and that is K-N-O-W, justice, and K-N-O-W, peace. I've had the privilege this week to see two individuals. One of them is with us this morning. Go from a place of no peace to peace that passes all understanding. The only way that can happen, friend, is to know justice. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. I'll get to the text in a moment. Here's what I mean. Sin has to be paid for. Whether it's your sin or my sin, it has to be paid for. And in order to know peace, K-N-O-W, peace, you have to K-N-O-W, know how our sin was paid for. You have to know that God is a just God. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. And He demands payment for sin. Now every individual in the world is faced with a choice. You can either pay yourself, or you can trust someone that loved you enough to pay that debt for you at Calvary. Friend, there's not a list that you can pick from. There's only one. His name is Jesus. Jesus, the songwriter said, truthfully, paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Just all depends on how you spell the word no as to where you sit this morning. I asked a man yesterday, I know I still haven't read the text, I told you. I'm just trying to mind God. Holston Valley Hospital, First hospital visit I've been able to make since COVID. You say, how'd you do it? Well, this man is from Buena Vista, Virginia. This man was acquainted with a pastor where Brother Don McCann has preached meetings. That pastor was burdened for this man. That pastor called Brother Don, knowing that Brother Don lives in Kingsford. Brother Don called me. Brother Don doesn't need to be in a hospital with what's going on in his lungs. And said, Pastor, you think you could go? And I said, Brother, I'll do everything I can. So yesterday morning, I found out, Brother Steve, that this man's wife was not coming. If you get on his list for visitors, you're the only one that can be on it. So I didn't want to knock anybody else out. And so I found out also that it was likely that sometime yesterday he would be discharged. He ended up down here. He's a Vietnam veteran because the hospitals in the Roanoke area were filled. There was no bed. The VA does not do heart surgery. He needed a pacemaker. If you'll stay with me a minute, I believe it'll be worth it. There's a God in heaven that's still leaving the 99 and going out there on the hillside after that one, Brother Grizzle, that one lost sheep. I found out that they would let me come in, and I went in. I was told this man will either like you or he won't. People all the time trying to set me up. Through the years, I've had somebody say, well, you can't talk to that man. I don't know. I don't know. But I found it many, many, well, about all the time to be just the opposite. We went in, sat down, began to have a conversation. Brother John, you can relate to what I'm going to say. We talked for an hour before I ever mentioned anything spiritual. I found out the man had been in construction all of his life. We had a lot in common. I told him, Brother John, how Dad and I started out with a plastic miter box. Do you remember them, Brother John? Did you ever have one? He laughed, Brother John, when I told him we'd saw one and two about every 2 weeks. Because you let your saw go a little too deep. We didn't have enough sense to put a piece of wood in the bottom of it, Brother John. I'm just being honest. And that saw, that little miter box, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. But it just fell too. Brother Doyle, you must know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. The old Black & Decker plastic miter box. It's fun. We had a good time just talking. I said to the man, I said, sir, his name was Larry. I said, Larry, I said, what kind of church background do you have? And he didn't say much about that. I asked him, I said, well, are you a saved man? He said, yeah, I got saved in Vietnam. And I said, well, that's good. I said, so you trusted Jesus as your Savior when you were in Vietnam? And he said, I trust Jesus every day. That's what he said. And I said, Larry, let me just ask a question another way. I'd already learned that he was a professor in Jesus, but there was no change in his life. No interest in church, no interest in the things of God. I already knew that. I said, Larry, if you had to leave this world today, I said, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Brother Gary, he didn't hesitate. He said, I know I wouldn't. No, I don't know I'd go to heaven. No, I don't know. And then he said this, I'm fearful. You know what was wrong? No peace. You want to know why there was no peace? Because he didn't know justice. Here's what he said to me, Brother Steve. He said, I've always just done things my own way. Sister Helen reminded me of a man that lives up on the hill in Bluntville. I've always just done things my own way. I quoted a verse of scripture to him. I said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Lord began to camp in there among the conversation. I began to explain to him how Jesus suffered. I talked to him a little bit about the blood that was coming from his brow because of the thorns. I talked to him a little bit about the spittle that was dripping down his face. Talked to him about the beard that had been plucked from his face. I talked to him a little bit about the nails in his hands and in his feet and how that all of his joints were out of place, how that all of his bones were staring at him, how that Isaiah said his visage was so marred more than the form of any man. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about God's justice. Somebody had to pay for sin. And Christ paid for my sin on the cross of Calvary. We went on a little bit further. I said, you know, Larry, pride goeth before, and he interrupted me. He said, a fall. I said, well, actually the verse says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Sister Helen, I've mentioned this from the pulpit, but what I said to that man up there, I've never said one-on-one to anybody, but it seemed like a good time. 71-year-old man that's been in construction all of his life. I told him what I told the man in Bluntville. I said, brother, if you come up here on this hill and they had the block laid up, they're building this fine house you live in, the block's laid up and they're putting the floor joists on it, and you look down in the ditch underneath the block, and there's sand in the ditch. I said, what would you do? He didn't hesitate. He said, I'd make them tear it down. That man was 80 years old, and I told him this. I said, you'll never get any help until you allow God to tear down what you've been building on for 80 years. You've been building on the sand, and you need to be on the rock. I shared that with that man yesterday. He can relate to that. You know, if you'll read your Bible, our Lord tried to meet people where they were. Something they could understand. I said, Larry, there's something I don't know, but I said, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. Talked about the painting where Jesus was knocking at the door. Many people don't realize it, but there's no latch in that painting. The reason there's not a latch is because the latch to a man's heart is on the inside. It can't be opened from the outside. Jesus will never open the door and come in uninvited. I said, is Jesus knocking at your heart's door? Yes, he is. I said, well, how about it? You want to leave him standing on the outside, or is it about time you let him tear down the 71 years and get on the right foundation? I said, do you want to trust Jesus? Brother Johnny did. What a blessing. Our country's in a mess. They don't have any peace because they don't K-N-O-W justice. They don't understand. Sin has to be paid for. Got on the phone. This will tell you a little bit about this fella. Brother Grizzly had a flip phone laying on his belly. Amen. You still got one, Brother Grizzly? I did. Amen. Amen. I said, Larry, let me dial your phone. And I said, then you'll have my number and you can put my number in your phone. Brother Jim said to me last night when I told him what happened, he said, preacher, it sounds to me like you got a friend. I do. They might live a long way off, but it ain't going to be long. We'll live together in the city of God. He said, he gave me the number and I started dialing. He said, oh, preacher, he said, no, no, no. He said, I don't never answer this phone. He said, I don't pay no mind to it. He said, call the house. So he gave me another number, 540-something-something-something. It's in my phone. And he gave me another number, and I called the house, and I said, "What's your wife's name?" while it was ringing. He said, "Wanda." Wanda answered the phone, "Hello." I said, "Hello, Miss Wanda. This is Brother Vinoy." I said, "I pastor in Kingsport, Tennessee. I'm here with your wife." And she said, "Oh, that's so good." He interrupted us. He said, "Honey, I got Jesus now." You say, preacher, what happened? I went into a room where there was no justice, N-O, and there was no peace. I left the room where there was a peace that passed all understanding, because there was a man that realized he couldn't pay his own sin debt, and his own way was not helping him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This morning I want to preach for a little while on the subject, no justice, no peace. Isaiah 59, chapter 4, or verse 4, chapter 59, verse 4. The Word of God said, "None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Please look at Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 14. The Word of God said, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Pray with me. Father, thank you for the lady last week, Sister Allison, Lord, that came to know the peace of God. Thank you for Larry, Lord. God, there are many others. Would you help us, our Lord, to be a church that reaches, that teaches, that understands, our Father, that people can know the peace of God. That, Lord, it's the grace of God. That we're not on the wrong side of the fence. It's the grace of God, our Father, that we're not still on our way to hell without God. Lord, I pray this morning that you would let this message sink into our hearts and lives. Help us to understand when we encounter people. Lord, it's one of two ways. Either they know the Lord or they don't. Either they have the peace of God or they don't. Help our lives to be instrumental, Lord, in pointing others to Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. No justice, no peace. Let me this morning remind you of something. The title of the message comes from a chant that's been chanted in the streets of America, the cities of America. And what they're referring to is justice for victims of police violence. I think, and again, this is not God. Paul would speak like that sometimes, wouldn't he, brother? Not the Lord, but I'm going to say something right here. I think there would be a relatively simple solution for what's going on. Number one, you shoot a police officer, you die. You say, "Pastor, that's not even addressing the subject." Yes, it is. That's not right. You shoot a police officer. I was talking to Brother Brian last night. He said his dad, he said years ago, he said, if you'll shoot a police officer, you're showing disdain for the country. You're showing disdain for the law. and you're showing disdain for human life. Now, let's get on the other side. I believe that if a police officer takes an individual's life, listen to me carefully, this would fix it. I'm just a country boy. Never heard this, but it would fix it. If the police officer takes an individual's life that is not resisting arrest, that police officer should lose his life. You say, Pastor, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on, beloved. Listen, most of the time, they're resisting arrest because they've already got a record. They don't want to go back to jail, and they realize that there's no way around it if they get arrested. I believe that it's wrong to take an individual's life if it's not necessary. Whether it's the law towards society or the society towards the law, I believe it's unnecessary and I believe it's wrong. I believe there are people on the streets that have never known what it is to have a godly mommy and a godly daddy that couldn't quote John 3:16 if their life depended on it. And I believe a lot of what's going on is a result of the lack of upbringing. But I want you to understand something. The people that are chanting in the street, no justice, no peace, are also for destroying the nuclear family. They're also the ones that chanted, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. They're also, beloved, listen, the ones that believe that more important than anything in America is a woman's right to abort her baby. More important than anything in America is a man's right to marry another man and a woman's right to marry another woman. Look at it. Look at it. I don't hate individuals, but I'm going to say this, and you read between the lines right here. It doesn't matter if you're a judge, a pastor, a teacher, or the president of the United States. Beloved, if you're for sodomy, you're against the Word of God. If you're for abortion, you're against the Word of God. If you're for the liquor industry, you're against the Word of God. I'll say this. If you're for racism, you're against the Word of God. I don't care what color an individual is. I don't care how poor an individual is. I don't care how rich an individual is. I serve a God that loves that individual and that died for that individual on Calvary's cross. Sister Helen, you spoke to me last week about a young lady. I don't care what kind of mistakes, young or old, that individuals make. Our God is in the business of saving lives that are full of mistakes. If mistakes disqualifies you, then I'm disqualified to represent the God of heaven. My life is full of them. But thank God there was a blood, Sister Teresa, that you sang about, shed at Calvary, that rains down over my mistakes and erases the sin. No justice, no peace. What a joy it is. I'm wondering, Brother Steve, even in fundamental circles, I sat there and meditated on this a while ago. The word fundamental, that's a big word. Just means you believe the Bible and you ought to follow it. Means the Bible's the final authority. Pastor's not the final authority. The justice in the Supreme Court's not the final authority. Honey, there's a judge sitting in heaven. He's the final authority. And he gave us a book. And he's not in the business of changing his mind. If it was wrong to steal in Genesis, it's wrong to steal in 2020. If it was wrong to commit murder in Genesis, it's wrong to commit murder in 2020. If it was wrong to be jealous in Genesis, and Joseph's brethren were, it's wrong to be jealous in 2020. God has given us a book. It's an absolute truth. I believe with all of my heart the hope of America is God. The hope of America is a return. They called it the return to the principles. You may not understand this and you may not know this, but the experiment of America does not work without morals and the fear of God. It doesn't work. Let me say this. Everybody's talking about our freedom and our rights and our liberties. Let me say this. This will get it. With those freedoms, with those rights, with those liberties comes responsibility. And when people shirk their responsibility, you say, Pastor, I don't understand what you mean. Well, it's your responsibility to make a living for your family. If you're able to do that, and thank God we live in a society, if you're not able to do that, there's checks, there's balances, there's ways that God's people and all people can be taken care of. But it's our responsibility to work. Work was in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden before sin. Read your Bible. Work is a dirty word to a lot of people in this country that we live in. One of the reasons, beloved, listen, that they're setting the cities on fire. And beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. If God doesn't intervene, this may not be good English, but it's good preaching. You ain't seen nothing yet. I told you a few weeks ago the fuse has already been lit and it's headed towards the powder keg. Mark her down. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'll tell you what I believe. Let me just say it like this. I believe that outfit that does not know the peace of God, that outfit that chants in the street, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now. Has anybody been paying attention? That outfit does not know the peace of God. Now I'm going to ask you something. Are we praying for them? I ask you a question. Are we praying for them? Are we realizing that that could be you, Brother Steve, with a steel chair in your hand, throwing it through the window on a storefront? But not for Jesus. But not for the peace that you have in your heart. I believe that outfit, beloved, that's chanting these things in the street, I'm going to say it like this, and I think you'll know what I mean. They're going to find some cities harder to burn than others. They're going to find some mayors easier to walk over than others. Some governors easier to walk over than others. And I believe this, they're going to find some people easier, Brother Preston, to walk over than others. You have a responsibility, brother, to take care of that precious woman that God has given you and those precious children that God has given you. My daddy taught me this years ago. Spent a lot of time talking to Larry yesterday about my dad. I love my dad. My dad said, son, I don't want you going to school and picking a fight. But he said, son, if somebody else picks it, I don't want you backing up either. I'm going to tell you something right now. The only hope of America that there's a bunch of people, whether they're saved or not, that still believe right is right and wrong is wrong, that will stand up and be a firewall against the destruction of this country that we live in. The Word of God said this, and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Isaiah 48:22 said, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Jeremiah 6:14, they have healed also the herd of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Let me say this to you. If the city stop burning, there'll still be no peace. That's where we're missing it. Before the city started burning, there was no peace in the heart of so many people in this country. They have healed also the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Ezekiel 13:16, to wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord. Our country is at a crossroads, Brother Gary. I'd like for the veterans to stand up this morning. There'll be a few here anyway. If you have fought on the battlefield for this country, you're a veteran, would you stand up this morning? Don't sit down. Brother Gary, do you love this country? I do too, brother. Brother Ralph, do you love this country? Brother Charlie, do you love this country? Brother Jim, you love this country. Brother Wayne, you love this country. Amen. Brother James, do you love this country? I'll ask you all as a whole. Did you ever think you'd see what you're seeing today in this country? There's hope. Let me say this to you this morning. There's not many of us here today, but there's hope. But the hope of America has never been in the White House. The hope of America is in God's house. I'm telling you, I have seen Israel time after time after time look like they were in a hopeless situation, but Israel's God came through. And you and I have a God in heaven that could come through for us. The Supreme Court, the Justice Horace Gray, once informed a man who had appeared before him in a lower court and had escaped conviction on a technicality. He said, I know that you are guilty and you know it. And I wish you to remember that one day you will stand before a better and a wiser judge. And there you will be dealt with according to justice, not according to law. Surprised while burglaring a house in Antwerp, Belgium, the thief fled out the back door clambered over a 9-foot wall, dropped down on the other side, and found himself in prison. You say, "Preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with what you're preaching." Let me just tell you this morning. If these folks die without Jesus, they may be a thief, they may be running, they may be jumping off over a 9-foot wall, but they're not going to jump down into prison. They're going to fall down into hell. Let me say this. It's not just thieves. I remember yesterday talking to that man, 71 years old. That's pretty late in life. It's unusual to see a man saved that old. But I remember talking to him about that thief, Brother Sam. I said, "It was late, but it wasn't too late." When he looked over at Jesus and said, "Lord," that changed everything. They were crucifying him because he claimed to be the Son of God. They hated him for that. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I explained, like I have to this church, just something that I think that maybe that thief, when he looked at that crowd, how they were jeering, how they were gambling for his garments, when he heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." I believe something welled up inside of him. He thought, "Well, maybe, Brother Preston, he can forgive me." And he said, "Lord, remember me." Jesus didn't say, "You sorry, no good, low down thief. You wasted your life and now you come calling on me." He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What made the difference? How could he all of a sudden, can you imagine, Brother Steve, whether he had 10 breaths left or whether he had 1,000? Can you imagine the peace that flooded that man's heart, knowing, "I'm leaving here, but praise God, I've got a better place to go. I'm on his side, and he's on mine." Hallelujah. There's a God that wants every individual to K-N-O-W, peace. But in order to K-N-O-W peace, you're going to have to K-N-O-W justice. And understand that it should have been you. It should have been me. It should have been my children. It should have been my grandchildren. But someone took our place. His name is Jesus. I hope you understand this morning that I've talked about the streets and the chanting and all that going on, that I'm not just referring to black people. If you've got your head on, been paying attention, there's probably as many or more white people chanting the same thing. I'm not trying to preach in a racist overtone, because I could go through that crowd this morning and give anything, Brother Steve, if I had to talk to 100 of them. And just one of them, Brother John, would remember what that godly grandmother, that godly papa told him, and just remember that Jesus is where it's at. It'd be worth it all. Our country's in jeopardy. You say, "Oh, Pastor, it ain't that bad." Honey, I'm going to tell you something. We're sitting on a powder keg. Just when you thought it can't get much worse, there can't be much more volatile than what it is. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but if our president appoints, and listen, that was our president when it was Obama. It was our president when it was Clinton. It was our president when it was Bush. And it's our president when it's Trump. If we ever get past that, and I think we already have, As soon as the last president was elected, there was people hollering, he'll never be my president. He's the president of the United States of America. Like it or lump it, he is the president. But they're already threatening, if he appoints a judge, they'll burn it down. I just want you to know this. Some threats are empty. Some threats are not. I know this. I'd like to leave this world living right where I'm living. I don't have any desire to live anywhere else. I'd like to leave this world pastoring right where I'm pastoring. I have no desire to do anything else in the ministry. Only God knows what the future holds. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to stand still and let them run over this church. I'm not going to stand still and let them run over my family. Amen. I've not got much of a spine left. But everything that's left in my spine, even if it's eat up with arthritis, will stand for this precious book by the grace of God till Jesus comes. Amen. Thinking about my grandbabies. And if this country continues on the path that it is, what will it be 20 years from now? Say, Pastor, I'm not real concerned about it. We should be. I'm just going to say this. If you're here today and you're not registered to vote, shame on you. I've never said that from the pulpit before, but I just said it. Shame on you. You ought to register to vote, and you ought to check out the issues, and you ought to vote, and you ought to vote as a child of God. I forgot my wallet this morning, Brother Steve. Let me have yours. If that isn't love. Well, that ain't much of a wallet, Brother Steve. Amen. Maybe if I had one that small, I'd carry it more often. Amen. This is what they say in America. Right, here's how people vote. Ain't that right? They vote. Ain't that right, Brother Grizzle? Their pocketbook. This is a different bunch. This is God's people. I'm going to say 6 feet. I started to come closer. We got no business voting. This right here. Right here is where we've been. Not our pocketbook, but God's book. Not our pocketbook, but God's book. You say, I said a while ago, anybody that knows me knows it's true. Thank you, Brother Steve. You better wipe that thing down, Brother Steve. It's got holy snot all over it. He probably didn't wipe the money down. My hand's cleaner than that money is. I guarantee you that. God's people. I'm not racist. This is the God's honest truth. I'd have voted for Ben Carson for president in a heartbeat. I'd have voted for Alan West for president in one heartbeat. I'm talking about good men. Men that love God. Men that love our country. They may be gentle in their speaking, but if you'll listen, it's like E.F. Hutton. They got something to say. I'm concerned. About folks that don't understand what they're chanting in the street. No justice. No peace. I'm going to make a statement. You don't have to agree with it. But if I have the peace of God in my heart, Brother John, I believe I'm absolutely incapable of throwing a chair through your garage door. Amen.
or taking a key, Brother John, and walking down the side of your truck. If I have the peace of God in my heart, I believe I'm absolutely incapable of taking a bucket of water and throwing it on a police officer. If I have the peace of God in my heart, I believe I'm incapable of going to my enemy's home or my enemy's business and setting it on fire if I have the peace of God in my heart. If I have the peace of God in my heart, I believe I'm incapable of running anybody in the ground like they're a dog. I said anybody in the ground like they're a dog. I don't mind running people's ideology in the ground or positions in the ground. That's where they belong, in hell. That's where they came from. Say, Pastor, I don't like that. It's still the truth. A man and a woman didn't come from this Bible, and it didn't come from heaven. Drunkenness didn't come from heaven. Stealing didn't come from heaven. It came out of hell and a hellish nature. Well, it's kind of been quiet this morning, so I guess now I'll join you and I'll be quiet. I'm going to ask you Friday night, while folks are gathering in Washington, to pray. Saturday morning, to pray. And perhaps God would lead some of us, Brother Steve, even to fast and pray. I want to ask you this morning. It's very possible, if not probable, if you're walking through the streets chanting, no justice, no peace, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now. It's very probable that there's no peace in that individual's heart. But I talked to a man yesterday, a Vietnam veteran, Brother Jim, that would never dream about doing any of those things or chanting any of those things. Yet still, he had no peace in his heart. You may be here this morning. You may be young. You may be not so young. That's a nice way of saying old. You may be stuck somewhere in the middle. But if you know justice, K-N-O-W, then you K-N-O-W peace. But if you've never been to Calvary, precious lady last week said, God, I'm so sorry. I'll never forget those words. I'm so sorry. I'll say this. If a person's not sorry, they're not going to get help. I'll say this. If a person doesn't want to change in their life, they're not going to get help. But if you're here this morning and you understand that you've lived your life not realizing that justice was fulfilled at Calvary, that the only way you can know peace is come to Jesus, you can just come and ask Him, Lord, I told Larry yesterday, I said, Larry, you're going to have to take sides. This came from Brother Mitchell, and I told him, I said, you're going to have to take sides with God against yourself. You're going to have to say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. I don't know if you've ever witnessed it or not, but the greatest thing I've ever witnessed in this world outside of being saved myself is is getting to see the peace come on somebody else's face. Come on somebody else's heart. I didn't ask Larry to say anything to his wife yesterday. He just blurted it out, honey, I've got Jesus now. Oh, you say, preacher, you're making too much of that. Am I? What shall a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you're here this morning and you don't have peace, if you died and you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven, I guarantee you Larry slept better last night than he slept in a long time. That fear's gone now. Why? Because Sister Teresa, he's sheltered in the arms of God. Let the storm clouds rise. The dark clouds rise. They won't worry me because I'm sheltered safe in the arms of God. Is that where you are this morning? Is that where you are? Sister Becky, if you'd come and just play softly, honey, on a piano, on the piano. I'd appreciate that this morning. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm asking you, heads bowed and eyes closed, in Jesus' name, pray for our country. I believe it'd be good if we came in this altar, that old God, don't let our country go to hell in a handbasket. Oh, God, help us. God, we can't do it, but you can. I believe it'd be good this morning if that individual, you know in your heart, there's no peace. N-O, no peace. It'd be good if you'd just step out in that aisle and just come down here and say, Pastor, I have no peace, but I want to know peace. I realize now that Jesus paid for my sin. I want to trust Him as my Savior. I don't want to leave this world without Him. I want to lay my head on my pillow at night and know that if He comes during the night or I don't wake up in the morning, heaven will be my home. We want you to go to heaven with us. It's going to be wonderful there. We want you to have peace while you live down here. Father, take the message this morning. Use it for your glory. I pray you would help. I pray you would heal our land. Lord, you said if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. And I'll heal their land. God, we need a healing in America. I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, for our sake, touch us, our Lord. Help us to be concerned for those, our Lord, that have no peace in their lives. May this be the day, Lord, that someone turns it over to Jesus. Someone says, enough of my way. I want to go God's way. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.